You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
The Agile Brand.
Welcome to Season 6 of The Agile Brand, where we discuss marketing technology and customer experience trends, insights, and ideas with enterprise and technology platform leaders. We focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make brands successful, scalable, customer-focused, and sustainable. This is what makes an Agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. While we've talked quite a bit about the cookieless future on this show, and even though the impending deadline of third-party cookies may get pushed back again, it is still happening, and marketers and advertisers need to find solutions that will enable them to maintain their advertising performance. My guest today can talk about all of this, and we're going to talk specifically about creating a competitive advantage by using deep learning with your data and measurement in an era where the cookieless future is almost here. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Jason Gillespie, Head of Analytics and Data Science at RTB House. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Greg. It's great to be here with you.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this topic with you. Why don't we get started, though, with you giving a little background on yourself as well as your role at RTB House?
Sure. Right now at RTB House, I'm our Head of Analytics and Data Science, which, as I like to say, means I do anything that involves a number. So you've got tactical work, like making campaigns work well, and then some very interesting strategic work, especially with cookies going away, which is figuring out how do we join together our deep understanding of users with data science methodologies in this new paradigm that's going to be cookie-less marketing rolling out most likely towards the end of the year or at the beginning of next year. My background is I've been an analytics guy for 25 years. So I've been very fortunate, had consistent type of work over most of my career. So it's something I really enjoy, and I'm excited to be here with you today to speak about it.
Great. Yeah, well, let's dive in here. So, you know, without going into a whole lot of background on why we need to worry about the cookieless future, we've certainly covered some of those details on previous episodes. So definitely recommend you catching some of those. Today, we're going to focus on how AI and specifically deep learning can be used to improve programmatic advertising results. So there's a lot of companies trying to solve some of the challenges with third-party cookie deprecation and other factors related to increasing consumer data privacy regulations while still delivering highly effective programmatic ad campaigns. Can you talk about, you know, how RTB House is doing this?
Yeah, sure can. So, you know, most performance marketing platforms, you know, they have to work at some point, or the results, the client sees them and they say, this isn't delivering me anything. So it's all about how are those results being measured? And a lot of clients are using a traditional web analytics system, which is an attribution-based system. It creates a result based on the touches that occurred before the user, say, made a transaction or generated a lead, and attempts to then assign credit back to those influences. It could be as simple as just coming to the person on, say, the last click. It could be this sort of like MTA, though I think MTA is sort of DOA. We can talk about that more, where it tries to parcel it out really without a lot of rhyme or reason typically. Or you can use the gold standard. And gold standard is a true population control split, a random control split with a blind randomized population to try to get incremental metrics. And that's a real paradigm shift between measuring based on attributed metrics or measuring based on incremental metrics. And the reason I love it so much is, one, I think incremental metrics have always been the ground truth. They're just hard to operationalize. So marketers continue to lean on attributed metrics because they can get those quickly and in their systems. But deep down, they know they're wrong. They know they're wrong. They've known them wrong for a decade. They've been searching for something else. And that's where incrementality comes in. And that's where deep learning comes into the picture, because we've done a lot of research that shows that a deep learning approach is actually a lot better at driving those incremental results. Even if it drives perhaps similar results on an attributed basis, you find that many more of those attributed sales are incremental. And the reason for that is really twofold. One, a deep learning model processes a lot more data than a machine learning model. It could be 10, 100, 1,000 times as much data. It's much more computationally intensive. It's the same technology, a neural network, that underlies ChatGPT and many of these other AI-driven technologies. And you see how long it takes to train ChatGPT. We're sitting here in January 2024, and ChatGPT is current through maybe 3 to 6 months ago, depending on what version you have, right? Because it's an extraordinary amount of data that has to be fed into deep learning and neural networks. But the outcome is that you get better results. You get truly incremental sales. Instead of just putting points on the board to put points on the board, you're putting points on the board that wouldn't have been there without the marketing. So that's why I'm excited about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and maybe even to take a step back, I mean, we've certainly talked about AI plenty on this show, but you know, could you define, you know, what exactly do we mean by deep learning? And, you know, how is this different from some other approaches that may utilize that broad umbrella of AI or even machine learning, as you mentioned?
Yeah, great question. And I think you've hit on all the good buzzwords here to right, frame this, right? Imagine you have that umbrella, and that's AI. An AI is just anything that makes a computer try to act like a human, and really been around since the 60s. I think there was almost as much fervor, at least if you read the news, when the first computer that could play checkers using like punch card input back in the 60s or maybe early 70s. That's AI. That's computer doing a human task. Well, as computational power became larger over time, machine learning became this thing. It's sort of a subset of AI. So the next circle under the umbrella, the smaller umbrella, is machine learning. And machine learning is using well-worn, generally statistical techniques, but there are certainly other techniques that I'd say are machine learning, but not deep learning, such as what we call ensemble methods, which is like learning something very weakly and then doing it many, many times to make stronger learning. Traditional machine learning goes back to what you learned back in high school, logistic regressions, linear regressions, relating some output to a bunch of inputs. What's cool about machine learning is it's fairly easy to interpret. You get results out and you say, oh, I understand what that means, that the third, you know, coefficient is a 7. You can actually interpret that and explain it to someone, which is cool because people like me that have to bridge the gap between the technical underpinnings and the marketer level or a CMO, you need to be able to interpret what's going on in order to explain how machine learning works. With deep learning, it's very different. Deep learning is the next umbrella, the third smallest umbrella, as you can imagine, sort of under this subset of AI, where it uses a neural network. And a neural network is a mathematical representation of how the human brain works. So it has inputs, it has some sort of activation function where it takes its inputs and creates some sort of output. Very simply, the way a neuron works in your brain. As you know, you have a huge number of neurons in your brain, and they have many different points of connection from sets of neurons to other sets of neurons. And that's how you set up an artificial neural network. You create these mathematical constructs that operate the way the neurons in your brain operate. You feed input in, it goes through the network, and the network could be recurrent, meaning some network neurons down the line could feed back to prior ones, and that's how your brain is set up too. It's a recurrent neural network. And so deep learning is that mathematical model of your brain. And there are many different ways you can structure that. You can have different layers. You can have different functions that you use to convert inputs into outputs. But fundamentally, it's the idea that it's a network of millions or billions or trillions of very small, relatively unpowerful operations. But when put together, they can learn.
I hope you're enjoying the first part of the show, and I want to invite you to check out another podcast from the Agile brand. It's called B2B Agility, and it's hosted by me, Greg Kilstrom. The B2B Agility podcast looks at the factors that drive success in B2B marketing, with a focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make B2B brands stand out and thrive in a competitive marketplace. You can find B2B Agility on this podcast platform or wherever you normally listen. Before we get back to the show, I just wanted to remind you to hit the follow or subscribe button on your app to make sure you get notified when new episodes of this show are available. Now let's get back to the show. So you had mentioned some other methods that are being used and not as effective as this deep learning approach. And one of those that you mentioned was MTA, multi-touch attribution. Do you mind, I know you touched on it a little bit, but do you mind maybe diving in a little deeper on, you know, what makes this approach better than a multi-touch attribution model? You know, what are some of the lackings there in MTA?
Yeah, so let me separate deep learning and MTA because they're sort of like comparing apples and oranges.
Fair enough, deep learning,
I would compare against, you know, machine learning or business rules as a mechanism for driving marketing performance. MTA, I would compare against incrementality as a measurement mechanism.
Got it.
Okay, so we have one set of mechanisms that we use to drive performance where we think deep learning outshines machine learning, and we have two different measurement mechanisms. We have MTA and we have incrementality. Generally, around the world, most people would agree that incrementality is the ground truth, right? If I randomly split users into two groups and one group gets your marketing and one doesn't and all else is held equal, any difference in the outcome has to be from that marketing. This is like your sixth grade science fair project.
Right.
Like, if you don't believe that, then all that we know about Western science is probably out the window. So pretty much that's a ground truth. MTA pretty much ignores all that and says, I'm just going to try to figure out based on these almost presupposed ideas around, you know, how I put value back. And when I talk to marketers, the reason you kind of know it's a bit of hand-waving is you talk to marketer one, and they say, I'm going to give 50% of credit to the last click, 40% to the first click, and 10% to all the other clicks in between. I say, okay, how'd you get that? I don't know. That's what the analytics team told me, or that's just the way the prior person did it. Okay, cool. You talk to marketer number two in the exact same business at a different company. They say, no. We give 25% to the last click, 60% to the click before that, and we distribute the rest to all the other clicks. I say, great. How'd you come up with that? I have no idea. And it is literally just a guessing game for most people. Yeah, there are occasionally more advanced approaches. And I think what's going to overtake MTA for the people that aren't jumping to incrementality is MMM, good old media mix modeling, which is actually grounded in strong mathematical underpinnings because it's generally a multiple regression. And it was what was the gold standard back in the days where TV was the primary mechanism for advertising, say in the 70s and 80s. So MMM is likely to blow MTA out of the water. One, because MTA, it's kind of a crock, let's be honest. And two, it's going to be hard for people to do without the third-party cookie because you can only do it on a click-based system. So you can't capture any non-click-based or view-based touches. And sometimes those are meaningful, sometimes they're not. But if they are, you'd want to include it. And so MTA has a lot of challenges, and the third-party cookie is probably the nail in the coffin for that. MMM will probably be the better operational approach, and then incrementality staying as your ground truth.
Got it. So let's switch gears a little bit here and talk about customer segmentation for a minute. So a lot of retailers, both digital and brick and mortar and both, are trying to solve similar challenges regardless of the products and services they sell. So, you know, how can, you know, deep learning approaches and other things that other tools that you're using help with customer segmentation as well as personalization?
Yeah, great question. Segmentation is super interesting with deep learning because deep learning has the ability to pick up on sets of behavior, especially say you're a big e-commerce retailer, picks up on sets of behavior based on the on-site activity where it's not as immediately obvious to other AI approaches like machine learning. And I'll give you an example. Machine learning and deep learning are both pretty good in understanding, you know, the person who's, say, like that traditional Macy's shopper. You're showing up on Macy's because the first cold wave come and I live in New York City and I need a jacket and all the jackets are half off. That's not rocket science. I looked at 8 jackets. I left the website. I put something in the cart. Machine learning, deep learning, they're both going to figure that out. It's a pretty standard use case. Where deep learning starts to shine is, imagine someone comes to the website and they look at a bunch of things that are, you know, relatively low priced, and they're looking very quickly and sort of haphazardly, and it looks like it's in a bunch of different categories, and there's really no rhyme or reason to it on the surface. Mm-hmm. Machine learning is just going to sort of ignore that. Deep learning is going to sort of file that away, and if it sees it again and again, it's going to come up with, that's a persona. That's like this mini persona that deep learning is able to figure out. And we actually saw this in a real case where that persona was a gift buyer. It's someone who needs something relatively modestly priced. They're not exactly sure what they're looking for, but they need it quickly. And that's a very important persona to understand because that's a high propensity buyer and you absolutely want to close that sale as best you can. So that's an example of where deep learning helps with segmentation by sometimes identifying segments that you didn't know exist. Now, it won't call it a gift giver necessarily, but it'll say, hey, there's this weird segment of people over here that are kind of all similar. And then you could look at it and you could come up with maybe your own naming for it.
Yeah.
When you talk about personalization, it's kind of similar. It's hard to personalize if you don't know the segment or what the person's looking for. And deep learning is very good at dealing with the long tail. So again, if you're the Macy's of the world and you're using machine learning, you have a lot of things that don't sell that quickly. And machine learning struggles with that. It's statistical based. So it needs a certain heft of data. It's going to just end up not recommending those products, even though they may be great recommendations. Deep learning's not like that. It'll form its own little subgroups out of things in the long tail. So again, if you're someone like a Macy's, you'd benefit tremendously from using a deep learning approach because your SKU set is very high.
Yeah, got it. So, you know, you talked about ad targeting and customer segmentation. I want to now move to talking about measurement and analysis of results. So, you know, looking at some of the case studies that RTB House has provided, you know, I've seen some pretty phenomenal results from ad campaigns run through your system, as well as significant relative gains when switching from more traditional methods to a deep learning tool like yours. Where have you seen the biggest improvements? Are there certain types of campaigns, channels, approaches, etc., that may work best?
Yeah, as with any platform, you know, there's kind of a sweet spot, and not that platforms don't work outside of their sweet spots, but deep learning is very good at doing what you tell it to do. So if you're a truly rational e-commerce marketer, you should operate in the following way. You should say, I have a business imperative, and that's that I need to get $4 incremental for every dollar I spend on every vendor. And I should give that same goal to every vendor and I should measure it incrementally. And you give that to deep learning and you let it go against everyone who comes to your website, the full audience. So in other words, your limitation is based on business logic, not kind of awkward operational concerns. Like sometimes a client will say, well, I don't want to show ads to prior buyers. Well, it turns out those are the most incremental often, at least in e-commerce, because it's easier to drive an incremental additional sale. So if you're truly trying to maximize revenue and you're truly being hyper-logical, that's where deep learning really excels. It creates the biggest gains. You want any optimization system to be as unfettered as possible. So when you are an extremely logical marketer, and you want to truly drive additional revenue, and you're not as worried about like vanity numbers and kind of side metrics, I think that's where it really excels. The good news is, as I like to joke, what do you call a marketer who truly drives incremental sales? Employed.
Nice. Love it. Nice. So then, you know, getting to the reporting and analysis piece of this, you know, how does deep learning play a role there? And, you know, what advantages are there to using it there?
I think, again, it comes back to how you're measuring. Deep learning can certainly drive attributed sales, but when you look at the ground truth, when you do an incrementality study and you carve off a true control group, I think that paradigm for reporting and analysis most clearly shows the difference in value that different marketing vendors will bring. And so, again, I think that's how it really shines. Yeah. And the real advantage is that it drives you the sales from people. I call it the malleable middle. You got some people, they go to your website, they're going to buy. It doesn't matter what you do, they're going to buy. So an ad is a waste of money there. You got other people, they're literally just kicking the tires. They're never going to buy anything. An ad is also a waste of money there. There's a malleable middle, and that's where you want to focus your advertising dollars. And that's what deep learning is good at, because it's a study of human behavior, not just a study of advertising's effect on humans. So it understands kind of what humans do, even in the absence of advertising. It also understands what humans do in the presence of advertising. And so that difference is itself, by definition, incrementality. So it's a study of human behavior. It finds the malleable middle, drives incremental sales. I think those are really the advantages of deep learning.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Jason, thanks so much for joining the show. One last question before we wrap up here. Without sharing too many secrets, what's next on your radar? You know, what should advertisers and marketers be looking out for when it comes to applying things like deep learning to their efforts?
Yeah, I mean, it's no real secret that the two big things that are going on here is, with the cookie going away, measurement paradigms change, and that's a great time for marketers to step up to the plate and say, all right, I'm ditching MTA, I'm going to investigate MMM, I'm going to look at, you know, Robin or some of the open source MMM systems that are out there, and I'm going to lean into incrementality. So I'm going to move away from the paradigms of yesteryear and into the future of measurement. And then again, on the cookie-less side, yeah, this is the cookie's been around for 30 years. Right. This thing's going away. So marketers have to be like critically prepared. So our view is we want to be critically prepared. We want to make sure that, you know, we're totally integrated with like Google's privacy sandbox. We're investigating alternative IDs. I'd probably steer clear from the third rail of fingerprinting and IP addresses and things that are either going to be regulated or deprecated out of existence by browser manufacturers. But marketers definitely need to be engaging right now, not a week from now, not 6 months from now, right now, making sure that any solutions that they need have a cookie-less solution and that it actually works.
Yeah, definitely agree. Well, again, I'd like to thank Jason Gillespie, Head of Analytics and Data Science at RTB House, for joining the show. You can learn more about Jason and RTB House by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkihlstrom.com. That's GREGKIHLSTROM.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile Brand Guides, covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kihlstrom on Amazon. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
The Agile Brand.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.